Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Franklin and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
If you have your Bible, I'd like for you to open them with me, please, to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12. And I want you to read a quick little story with me out of the Bible, and then I'm just going to break it down, tell you what it has to do with you. In 2 Samuel, chapter 12, I'll begin reading with verse 1. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him, and he said to him, "There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many herds and flocks, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he brought and nourished. It grew up together with him and his children. It ate from his own food and table, drank from his own cup, and lay at his bosom. It was like a child or a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take it from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the traveling guest. And he came to him, took the poor man's lamb, prepared it for the man who had come to him. David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, what this man has done, he will surely die." Verse 6, "And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because of this thing and because he had no pity." The David that we're dealing with in this story is not the same David that we first hear about. This David who would dance and worship and praise God and love God and write songs of praise to God, now we see David differently years later. Now he has become powerful. Now he's become king of Israel. Now he has everything and anything you can imagine. But he's not the same David. Now he's stolen another man's wife named Bathsheba. He has stolen her, and not only did he do that, but in order to have her as his wife in his lust, he has the man killed. This same guy who had a passion for God at one time in his life, and now he's king and he's lied and he's covered it all up and he thinks that he's gotten by with it. And God speaks to the prophet Nathan and he says, "You go tell David that I'm going to deal with the hidden thing in his life." And I can see Nathan in my mind, and I want you to come in with your imagination for a moment. He's headed toward the palace. He has a word from God to David about what he's done, the adultery, the murder, the lies, the deceit. And he thinks to himself, how can I touch David? How can I reach David? He says, "I know what'll get him. I'll tell him a story about a man and a lamb, hoping that somehow it'll take him back to when he first started, when he had nothing but he was just a little shepherd boy and all that he had was a passion and a love for the lamb." The Bible said that Nathan walks into the palace, and because of his deep respect for Nathan, he knew he was a man of God. This powerful, mighty man, this king of Israel, David, allows him to come in. And he says, "What are you doing here, Nathan?" And Nathan says, "Well, I've just come in through, but I want to tell you a story, David." He said, "Tell me." He said, "There were two men that lived in a city," and he begins to break the story in on David. Two men, and one of them was a poor man, and one of them was a rich man. And they both lived in the same city, and although they both spoke the same language, there was a big difference between them. He said, "I'll tell you about the rich man." He said, the rich man, and you read it in the text that I just read, he had exceeding herds of flocks. He had resources that exceeded his needs. He lived in luxury and wealth, and he had on his payroll shepherds, and he had thousands and thousands and thousands of sheep and camel and oxen and anything you can imagine. He had a name that was recognized in his community. He was He had prestige. He had favor. He had popularity. He had wealth. He had fame. He had it all. Now, David doesn't know that Nathan is talking about him. And so David is kind of leaning in because David started with nothing. And in 2 Samuel 8 and verse 13, there's this interesting scripture that caught my attention. It sums up how successful and how far David had come from a little humble shepherd to now the Bible said in 2 Samuel 8, 13, and David had got him a name. Now he's famous. Now he has it all. Children's books are being written about David, how he fought Goliath. He's outperformed his peers. He's a famous legend of his own time. They're writing songs about him. Saul has slain his thousands. And the children are singing songs in school. But David has slain his 10,000s. The parents are naming their children. The most popular name of that time, I'm sure, was David. Let's name the little. What do we name him, honey? Let's name him David. He had gotten him a name. And in that same city where this powerful, prestigious, wealthy, very popular man lived, there was another man, and he's called the poor man. He lives in insufficiency every day. He has a hand-to-mouth existence. He knows nothing but scarcity and poverty. His children grow up in a home where they know what it is to do without and to not have resources, and they get by with what they have. This poor man is unknown. This poor man is not in any social circles. This poor man is given no honor. This poor man is seemingly extremely unimportant. And even though they live in the same city and breathe the same air and talk the same language, they're worlds apart until one fatal day, the two lives overlaps. The poor man and the rich man, and here's when it happened. The rich man had a traveler or a guest come through, and he wanted to prepare a special meal. And rather than turning to his hundreds of shepherds and his thousands and thousands of exceeding great herds of flock of sheep and all the resources that he had, instead of taking one of the thousands, he goes to the poor man's house. And he takes the only lamb that the man possessed. He had one lamb. And he has it killed, and he has it dressed, and he cooks it and has his servants cook it, and they feed it to this traveler. He slays it and kills it and thinks nothing of it, even though he had thousands and thousands of his own. When I hear the word lamb, if you are serious about studying the Bible, if you ever hear the word lamb, you ought to connect lamb to Jesus. Because when I hear the word lamb, it piques my interest, because in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 3, it said every man must present a lamb. Every man, everybody say with me, every man needs a lamb. And then in Exodus chapter 12 and 3, it says every house, every family, every household on Day of Atonement had to bring a lamb for the house. Not only the individual man, but there had to be a lamb for the house. Two things were required. The Bible said that when a colt would be born, and it was the firstborn under the old covenant, you either broke the neck of that little colt or you took a lamb and slew the lamb. If a firstborn son was born, the Bible said you must offer a lamb for the firstborn child of every house. That's why Jesus rode a colt into Jerusalem. And he was the Lamb of God sitting on the colt. And he was going so that we wouldn't be broken by our sin and devastated and destroyed by our sin, but he was going to pay the price as the Lamb of God. You may get by without the fowl of the air. You may get by without the beast of the field. You may get by without the fish in the sea. But every man needs a lamb. Every household needs a lamb. Without the lamb, there is no life. You can take a praise break if you want to. Clap and praise the Lamb. Everybody say, worthy is the Lamb. So now that you get it, now that you get that this is more than just a story, this speaks to us about the Lamb. Now watch this. The rich man had exceeding flocks. The poor man had nothing in contrast except one little lamb. He had no prestige. He had no wealth. He had no flocks. He had no property. He had nothing. The only one tangible asset the poor man had is, I've got a lamb. And if I can't give my family everything that I wish that I could give them, if I can give them a lamb, if I can make them have a relationship with the Lamb, if the Lamb can be in our house, if the Lamb can be loved and hugged and they be bonded with the Lamb, greater than any inheritance, greater than any college education, greater, and I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I believe in all of it. But there's nothing greater as men that we can give our families than a passion and love for the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. If you're doing that, you are a success. Come on and give God a big praise, somebody. The man probably could have felt down about himself, but the truth is, if all I've got to show for my life is a lamb, and my family loves a lamb, and boy did his family, the Bible said that his family loved this lamb so much that it was not a pet, folks. Read the story. They took the lamb and moved it into their house. Did you catch the wording? Your Bible said that the lamb ate at their table. Now, I love pets, but come on now. The lamb, you got, everybody's got a chair, mama, daddy, junior, and the little daughter, and here's the lamb sitting at the table, and they all eat at the same table. Not only that, but your Bible said they drank from the same cup with the lamb. It says that. Oh, my goodness. There wasn't a daddy cup and a mama cup and little Junior's cup and little Susie's cup and the lamb's cup. No. Daddy takes a sip. Everybody takes a sip. And here's the little lamb licking with his tongue out of the same cup. What is this about? Same table, communion. Same cup. This is my cup, which is shed for the remission of your sins. This is my blood. Same communion means common union. The family had, they had a love for this lamb. This lamb was a part. He was not isolated from the family. He was not a pet that they went to see on Sunday and petted him, and then they went back to their family life. No, he was integrated into their family. Every meal, every part of their life, every decision that was made, everything that concerned the children and the family, the lamb was there. The lamb was a part of it. This is what Christianity is. Christianity is not going to church on Sunday like a petting zoo and petting the Lamb of God and saying, I love you, but I'll see you. I really got to do the rest of life by myself. No, real Christianity is, and he walks with me and he talks with me, and my children love him, and my wife, everywhere we, every decision, the Lamb is a part of all of it. Now, I'm a preacher. There are teachers and there are preachers. A teacher tells it, a preacher yells it. And I feel like yelling right now that, boy, if you want life in your house, you get the lamb in your house. If you want a marriage that'll stand, you get the lamb in your house. You want children that honor God, you better have the lamb in your house. You better leave them more than an inheritance of material things. I want my children to be bonded with the lamb. The Bible said that he fed the lamb. It was growing. The presence of the lamb was growing in the home. Oh, I'm so, God help me to preach this right. Maybe you can't give your family the luxuries of life. Maybe you can, and that's wonderful. But if you can give them the love for the Lamb, if you can get them to fall in love with the Lamb, whatever I do with my five precious children, whatever I do as a man for them materially in other ways, it so is overshadowed by the big question of whether or not I have transferred to them by my faith a love for the Lamb, a passion for the Lamb. Because I remember Jensen Franklin when he didn't have nothing. I remember when I was living in a cornfield in North Carolina. I remember, and the thing that I want my children to get biggest out of my life has nothing to do with things of this world. But oh, if I can get the Lamb in them, if I can get them saying, worthy is a Lamb, worthy is a Lamb, worthy is a Lamb, I am a success. Everybody take a praise break and praise the Lamb. I feel His presence in this room. The children grew up with the Lamb. I'm concerned because I think we compartmentalize God now. You know, that's the stuff we do on Sunday. Put on your religious, your Christian plastic face and come into church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How you doing, brother? And then go right back. But is the Lamb in our family? Are our children growing up with the Lamb? The Lamb was part of the family. They smelled like the Lamb. The atmosphere of the home had the Lamb. Everything they did, you're going to date that person. The Lamb was there when they were talking that stuff over. We're going to do this. We're going there. We're going to do that. You're talking to your teenager. Are you going to date that guy? And the Lamb was there, just kind of brushing up against your leg. That's how it ought to be. Everything in our life ought to be centered around the Lamb. Lamb. He was part of the family. You couldn't separate the Lamb from this man and his family. His one asset in life was, I love the Lamb, and the Lamb is in my home, and my children love the Lamb. They were connected. They were bonded with the Lamb. Listen to me carefully. The poor man had the one thing that King David no longer had that he used to have, and that was a love for the Lamb. Now he's got too many lambs. He's got thousands and thousands of shepherds. He's no longer in a relationship with the Lamb. He hires people to know the Lamb for me. And when I want a lamb, bring me one and I'll pet it. But that's about it. That's what I'm talking about. There's a difference. And that poor man had the one thing that King did not have anymore, a bond, a relationship with the Lamb. And I'm coming close to where I want to be now. I'm almost through, but lean in. Drink from my cup. Eat from my table. The Bible said that he at night, did you catch it? Laid the Lamb on the man's bosom. Laid the Lamb on his chest. And in other words, what a picture. David was once called a man after God's own heart. He was a man after the Lamb's heart. He was so close to the Lamb that you couldn't get any closer, but something, fame and fortune and prestige and power, somehow there's been a distance between the Lamb and the man's heartbeat. And when the poor man would lay there, he would hear the gurgle of the blood of the Lamb. And, oh, I love this Lamb. But it's gone. It's gone. The connection with the Lamb is gone. So I want you to hear the conclusion of the story. David is so stirred. Suddenly the shepherd's heart, that humble, that broken vessel that would do anything. I hear that giant insulting my God's name. And it so offends me because I love him. I'll go fight a giant for my God. Suddenly that part of him is awakened again. The shepherd's heart. And when he hears this story, he interrupts Nathan the prophet, and he says, stop the story. You tell me who this sorry man is that did this to this poor man and his little lamb. And I tell you, he will pay fourfold. One lamb he took, he'll pay four back. And then the prophet hurled around with his bony finger. I'm sure the anointing came on his face as the blood drained. He looked at him with a pale, gaunt look and said, David, you are the man. Suddenly his heart was smitten. And the Bible said that he, remember, the lamb was as a child, and the scripture said that David lost four of his kids. This is. Listen to this. He lost Bathsheba's son. He lost Ammon. He lost Absalom in a rebellion, hung from a tree. He lost Adonijah, four for one. I was reading, and I've never seen this before, but I was reading Exodus chapter 12 recently, and I saw something about Passover that I've never seen before. Passover, of course, was when the death angel was coming through, and God gave instructions to the Israelites. If you want your family to be saved, how many of you want your family to be saved? Let me see your hand on behalf of your family. If you want your family to be saved, take a lamb. And you're going to put the blood on the doorpost of your house. And if there's blood there, the death angel will pass over. But if there is no blood of the lamb on your door, then the destroyer will come into the house and attack. Listen to this. I've never seen this before, but it's there. The Bible said, God said, I don't want you to just take an indiscriminate lamb. He said, you take a lamb and keep it up in your house, meaning, I looked it up, when it says in King James, keep up the lamb for 4 days, it meant the lamb was to live in the house with the family. The lamb that was going to be offered for the sins of that family could not be an indiscriminate lamb. It could not just be some lamb they saw, yeah, kill it and put the blood on the doorpost. It couldn't be that way. God said it won't work that way. I want you to bring the lamb in that's going to be sacrificed for the family. Let's say it's the Franklin family. And myself and Charisse and Courtney and Carissa and Caroline and Connor and Tyler and Ben would gather around the table. And for the next 4 days, our family would bring the lamb and keep it up in our home. He was at every meal. He lived. He would eat from our table. He would drink from our cup. He would lay in our bed at night as we all went to sleep, and there would be hugging of the lamb and playing with the lamb and watch sitting on the sofa and the lamb for 4 days. Why? Because God was saying, I don't want you, when you see that lamb slaughtered, to be disconnected. I want you, I want your little children to so love that lamb that when they see his precious blood shed, he won't just be some lamb, but he will be, that's our lamb. That's our family lamb. That's the lamb that without his blood, we would be covered in judgment and iniquity and sin. But they would keep the lamb because God said, I want there to be a bond. I want you to understand, without this lamb, my family, my marriage, my children would have no hope. But through the power of the blood of the lamb, we are covered. Curses are broken. Addictions have no power in this household. There is nothing greater than the blood of the Lamb. Come on and clap right there and shout just a minute.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life, and we'll share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter @Jensen or Facebook @JensenFranklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast, and have a great week.